Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at HearstRanch.com.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Time. Don't use the stars to find me, don't expect them to align. If you see me when you're dreaming, please don't take it as a sign. Leaving now, I cannot stay, I haven't got the time.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolic is in the office today. That was just the spring standard. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. What'd it say?
I said it's very delicious to be here.
Nice one.
Yeah, but before we get to that, Allison, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Good, I'm good. Allison Price-Becker, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Welcome back to New York.
Thank you.
nine long years. For those of you who don't know, Allison is the restaurateur of Allison on Dominic, Allison by the Beach, Allison at the Maidstone Arms Hotel, and Allison at the Inn and Quag. Did I get that right? Quag. Yes. Oh, very good. But you have been out of New York for 9 years, and you are returning with Allison 18. So yes. Welcome back.
Thank you.
But for those of us, like myself, who was not in New York 9 years ago, why don't you tell us first about Allison on Dominic Street?
Well, Allison on Dominic Street actually opened in 1989, and it was on Dominic Street, which is a little teeny tiny two-block street above the Holland Tunnel. And after 9/11, it was very, very difficult down there, so we decided maybe it was time. We'd had a great 13-year run. Maybe it was time to close up shop, because I did have the restaurant in Long Island, Allison by the Beach, which was going gangbusters, right. Especially because so many people moved out there. And I thought, well, you know what? Why don't I just shut down here and stay out there, because also my landlord wanted to get rid of the building, and it just seemed time. So I moved out there. But Alice on Dominic Street was a very small, it was 52 seats, small dining room, banquettes, lots of velvet, tall taper candles, which you wouldn't be allowed to have today.
Right.
And it was very romantic, and it was kind of quirky because it was out of the way.
Now, when you say romantic, in doing my research, I had read that like that was like the place to propose to somebody. Is that true?
Was it? I guess it might have been.
Like, how would it go? Like, what's it? Would a guy call up and be like, "I want to propose to my girlfriend"? Was it lost up? Like, how did you have like a like engagement package that someone could like order for dinner?
No, but we did have people call and say, you know, "I'm going to propose tonight. I'd like to hide the ring in the food," or I'd like.
Oh yeah. So what are your tips?
Or I'd like
for
a bottle with, you know, the ring tied on it. I didn't really like handling the rings too much. It made me very nervous.
What are your tips for, like, let's say I wanted to take my my lady friend out there and I was going to propose to her. What are some, like, hits or miss of, like, order this for the ring, put it in this, like, anything, a little bit of a guidance?
Well, don't put it in some kind of food where it's going to end up, you know, where she's going to swallow it.
Has that happened?
Close calls. Luckily, it hasn't happened in my restaurant,
okay.
But you can see close calls, but we don't do that. You know, it's always nice to put it, like, on top of an oyster or, you know, if you've got some kind of appetizer that's got, I don't know, a twig of rosemary, I mean, to hang it on something.
Now, did you find that people normally wanted to bring it out, like, first course, leave it towards the end? Did you, like, was it kind of just
all different.
Everybody's different. Personal preference.
Everybody's different. Somebody, actually, one person had it, you know, I remember dropped it off beforehand. That made me very nervous because he wanted it right there wrapped in our napkin.
Right.
So it was right there. Other people wait till the end of the meal. You know, somebody once, though, came up to us and decided not to do it.
Oh, no. Oh, my. Wow.
So those things happen, too.
Wow, I actually never even considered that option.
Yes, but then we also had somebody on the other side of it who made an engagement ring out of a straw paper.
Oh,
because
okay.
He did it on the fly. So for every little, you know, hurtful one, there's always something happy.
Okay. So then, between from when you closed and now, you had a couple of restaurants. Now, did you do any traveling? Did you go explore the world, or were you just restauranteering these last 9 years of just in between the two places?
No, I did some traveling. I mean, I have a son who's now 14, so I'm sort of tied in a little bit to the school year here. But we together actually took some great trips, some that have nothing to do with food, like we went to the Galapagos. Oh, my God, we've been to Belize a couple times. I've taken him to Europe. We go to Europe every summer. So, I kind of took advantage of not having a restaurant because I sold everything in 2008. So I've had a good 3 years where, you know, it's really cool too because we've got to spend some great time together, like from 11 to 14.
That's amazing. No, there's a good years and now they're like,
oh,
mom,
it's perfect.
Now it's like, mom, I don't care. Yeah, it doesn't care.
You know, mom is no longer cool.
So that's us. And then, yeah, you know, as being older, I'll tell he'll come back and appreciate, like, mom used to take me on all these great trips. Mom, why can't I go now? So just give it like a decade or a half and you'll be right back in awesome mom spot. So why come back? So why did you come back to the city?
When I sold everything, I was really ready to come back to New York. I had never planned to stay out on the island full time. It wasn't, it was something that just happened. I really had expected to be out there for a couple of years. You know, because the economy was great out there in those first couple of years after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But then as people started moving away and moving back, it's very tough on the east end of the island. It's a, you know, summer community. With the college closing down, it really became a summer community. And financially, it's very difficult. I was born and raised in New York.
Wow.
And it was time for me to come here. And I also felt for my son that there's just not enough for kids to do out there. The teenagers,
right.
There's just not enough to do. Whereas in the city, you got the whole world at your feet. You know, you got 1,001 movies. You've got 10. You've got everything. And if you take advantage of it, there's just a lot there for our kids. So we sold everything and moved back here.
Okay.
And then I just took some time. I really wasn't sure, actually, whether I would do another restaurant. That was kind of a question. Because I wanted to make sure it was the right deal and the right partners and all that. And I started doing product development, which I absolutely adore. And it's a totally different world, corporate world, but I love the recipe and development, and it was really fun. And just when I started thinking, yeah, you know what, maybe I'll just do this. You know, this is really good. I'm getting a lot of work, and it's all fun. Mike calls, my business partner, and one thing led to the next, and here we are.
And here you are. In the Ten Commandment building of all places.
Yes.
Which I have seen. So what is it that Allison 18 brings, you know, new to your, you know, massive portfolio already?
I'm sorry, you broke up on me a little there?
No problem. So what does Allison 18 bring new to the portfolio of your other restaurants? Like, how is it different?
That's a really interesting question, because we didn't strive to do anything that different. We strive to bring what we bring to the table, which is a really comfortable experience, one where you're taken care of, where your food's really good. We're not trying to be out of the box food-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to see foam here. Not that Robert couldn't do it, because he can do almost anything, but we choose to go for the really simple, flavor-forward food, where there's not a whole lot of surprise, but there's a whole lot of comfort.
Amazing. And what is one thing that you feel that you've, you know, in the time off and in the new restaurant that you are bringing to the table, like a new approach or a new way to look at things this time around?
Well, the boring part of it is probably with less emotion and more of a business eye.
No, I mean, I think that's a fair answer.
Because I've been doing it a long time now. You know, when you're 28, 29, opening your first restaurant, there's a lot of emotion there and a lot of blinders on and a lot of excitement. I know the pitfalls now, so there's a lot more of a business side to it. I'm a little more relaxed in certain good ways. I think I probably listen more or try to.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Boss, probably. I hope.
That's right. Well, Allison, just want to thank you for calling in. We want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Like the nuts and bolts, where you are, hours, where to find you online, if you can make reservations?
Absolutely. Yes, we have a website. It's www.allison18, all written out, one word. We are open 7 days a week. We are open for lunch and dinner and brunch. Lunch opens at noon, brunch at 11:30. Saturdays and Sundays. We also have a kiosk up in the front of the restaurant that opens at 8 o'clock in the morning for takeaway, cappuccino, and coffee, and the best Allison scones you've ever had.
Amazing.
So we are a sort of full-service breakfast, lunch, and dinner operation.
So you're saying just hang out all day?
Oh, certainly. And we in our event space, we have an 80-inch screen, and we can come down and hang out there, too. We have a full bar and a lot of fun to be had.
Final question, is this as proposal friendly as the early restaurants?
Oh, I'm so sorry, what was that?
Is this as proposal friendly as the early restaurants?
You know, I think it is. It's different, but we're also in a different proposal world. People are proposing really funky places these days. I think absolutely. I see. We still have a lot of corner banquettes.
Okay. Okay, well, Allison, thank you so much. Best of luck, and I cannot
thank
wait
you.
To dine there.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
All right, so we have the Spring Standards coming up. We're going to play a couple songs first. But first, I want to let everybody know that on May 10th at the Guggenheim, Zola Jesus is going to be playing live and has entrusted and enlisted the talents of one of her most deeply admired performers, J.G. Thirlwell. Thirlwell is a composer, producer, performer based in Brooklyn who works under many pseudonyms and including Manorexia, Fetus, Steroid Maximus, and several others. He has worked with an extraordinary roster of artists, including Nine Inch Nails, Acceptor, Kronos Quartet, and The. Kronos Quartet will be joining Zola Jesus and J.G. Thirlwell at the show on May 10th, and I just bought a ticket, so there are still tickets available. So I'm going to play a track off of Zola Jesus' latest record called Avalanche, and then the new Hot Chip single Night and Day, and then we'll be back with the Spring Standards to talk about Delaware. I saw Flyers cap. Go Flyers. And candied walnuts and eating salad without forks. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. Here we go. Hot chip. Are any hot chip fans?
Yeah, they're awesome.
I mean, want to get my groove on.
They are literally like they just, you know, consistent. You know, there's gonna be some ballads on that record, and you're gonna like not like them as much. Your song first, and it'll be the strongest. So, before we get started with the Spring Standards, I just want to announce that our summer barbecue series is starting up again May 16th at Good Company on 10th Hope Street, which is Roebling and Hope. We have Joe Carroll of Fetisau and Saint Hassan behind the grill, and we have Turing Machine manning the decks of DJing. So tickets will go on sale next week, I believe, and you can always walk up. So anyway, that's enough announcements, I think. Spring Standards, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you,
James,
Greg.
James, and Heather. This is so easy.
I know, right?
It would have been so weird if your twin brother was here, and then you guys would have looked identical, and they would have had the same exact names, and it would have been all sorts of, like, double time.
I think that's kind of how it's almost.
We could have played tricks on all the people here.
Yeah, all the people. Look how packed it is.
I know,
it's spring.
Crazy.
I mean, this is...
Spring is in the air.
Spring is definitely in the air. Yes. I definitely skipped all of, like, the nasty April weather, and now it's, like... May. Yeah. Well, it's almost May. We'll say it's May.
It's
April 30th.
For all intents and
purposes. We were down at South by, and we were like, when we get back to New York, it's going to be basically summertime.
And then there was April, which was not basically summertime.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background?
All righty. Well, I met these two boys I grew up in Delaware. I met James Clear.
That's me.
That's that one.
Wearing the Flyers beanie.
Wearing
the
Flyers
who
beanie.
Was at this game yesterday.
More on that later.
Can we also just arbitrarily mention he's wearing a Star Wars t-shirt?
Yeah.
Not that that's relevant to
but I don't think. Yeah, I don't
just
because
it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Let them see.
Yeah, just to visualize.
With their ears.
I met James when he transferred to my high school, and we connected pretty quickly, and then he invited me very, very generously to come jam out with him and his
amazing
awesome,
friend.
Amazing mm-hmm. friend in their sweet folk duo that they were, you know, making the rounds of the antique shops and local garage sales. They were just sweeping the township.
Sweeping
campfire jams, youth jamborees. Youth jamborees left and right.
Exactly. And I was like, all right, guys,
gigs.
Maybe I will. I'll do that. So anyway, that's where we sort of got our humble beginnings. We were, you know, 15, 16 years old.
Really pre-college youngsters.
yes, very like little babies, and started playing music, started writing music, and then just like sort of kept doing it through the end of that era, and lost touch a little bit in the college years, and then all moved to New York for various and sundry reasons, and then sort of found ourselves back together all of a sudden, and there we were.
Was it like ran into a bar, or was it more of like a...
We were all rain-drenched on a street.
and we were running.
Yeah, and we all were running.
Other,
yeah, it was...
And we just collided.
Yeah. This house seems like a lie.
No. And then, you know that part of the Matrix? Slow motion. We all hit each other midair, and then the view went completely around us in stop animation style, Matrix style.
Side question. All three of you have microphones. Who does the banter on stage?
Oh, jeez.
I
think
we're a three-headed beast on
stage. One of us is like, another one will be like, yeah, let's do this thing. It's never planned. It's just whatever happens.
If you want the backstage truthful answer, it's whoever has to tune usually isn't bantering.
Oh, okay. why don't we get a song?
Okay.
We have
to
play.
And I know that you brought keyboards and other things, but due to... time constraints on my end.
On my end, Greg.
Come on,
that's me being professional and covering for you guys.
Now you're blowing it. Damn it! Sorry.
Okay, so what are you gonna play first?
This is a song called "Crushing Pennies,"
and is this off the new EP?
Yeah. So this is off the there are two EPs that are being released as a single record, and this is off the first of the two, which is entitled "Yellow," and it's called "Crushing Pennies."
And just think about this: two EPs released at the same time, not one LP, but two EPs.
Nope.
We're gonna discuss that when we get back.
We will. It's Spring, like a fraction. Program.
Yeah, Spring Standards live on Snacky Tunes.
My love, it was useful for the time, like whiskey and wine. And oh, we set these flowers drying,
while they're dying. No bed left to lay. And oh, my love, won't you take a little of this hurt from me?
Thank you.
Skidoo.
So, math.
So math.
Mathematics.
Mathematics.
Let's talk about calculus.
No, let's talk about the new WP.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I thought of a great analogy.
Wall singing?
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I have to admit, this is one of those places where this is like, I don't know if people know this setup. There's a glass, there's a window here, and people are eating next to us. There's lovely food on the table. It's like an ADHD person's nightmare. So it is my nightmare. I'm like thinking about everything. I'm like, oh, that's a cool camera she has.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good pose there. It's just, I'm like halfway through the song. I was like, what's the next? Oh, I'm singing. Anyway, right, just excusing
so
her.
You had a point.
Yeah.
I had a point. Which is that, I was inspired by our location and inspired by the theme of your show. And I was thinking about how, okay, so take a restaurant, for example, and, you know, you have appetizers, you have entrees, you have en salades, you have aperitifs, you have dessert, you have all of these different sections that all sort of work in conjunction with one another to make this amazing meal. But if you were to arrive at a restaurant and they had just piled everything onto one big plate, you would say, well, yeah, but that's not the point. So
I have a feeling there's going to be some nuts crunched.
I got it.
So I feel like this record can be approached like a
records.
Like a these two records, this album, which is one meal, but from start to finish is comprised of smaller things, can be taken as like two complementary flavors.
So when you play it live, do you mix the two or are they kept separately?
It's a great question that you have there, Greg.
Thank you.
And I'm going to respond by saying, we mix it up, yo.
Yeah, we do. I think
we
it's
do,
also...
because sometimes you do want sweet and savory just intertwined. You want some chocolate-covered pretzels.
I think I can help soothe everyone's concerns over the two versus
Flyers
one.
James steps into the ring.
Yes, exactly. Redheaded Flyers James. Ding ding ding. No, I think the only thing singular about the release is the release itself. It is released singularly, but it is indeed two EPs. And we recorded them with months apart. We could release them months apart. But I think the idea is to provide an instant dichotomy that isn't really like a
cut down the middle black and white dichotomy. It's more subtle, but to think of the old days as well of like, you know, side A and side B. It was one release, but it was two packages, two sonic packages that were separated by the amount of time it took for you to flip a record, which for a lot of people, it was like a long time. You'd wait and they'd be, oh, I gotta flip it, and then you flip it. But there was always that moment. So we're kind of forcing that moment in the digital world where you have to kind of load the other EP, put the other EP in your CD player if you're like from the 90s, or like click on the other, you know, file that you've downloaded, like, you know, which you can do on Tuesday when the album comes out. But
who's putting it out?
We have our own sort of little label, Parachute Shooter Records, where we're distributing our own stuff.
Everything we've done thus far, this is our third album, and everything has been fan funded. And
Kickstarter,
independent releases.
Sure. Well, before then, even before Kickstarter was huge, we did our own. We had like a PayPal setup thing.
Amazing.
We've been doing that for, you know, well before Kickstarter was cool.
What is the top thing a fan can get?
Oh man, like dinners.
Our first one was a joke. Basically, we told them we'd give them their own private island.
Okay,
you know, and that was what.
But it was if you donated like $10 million.
We just shot for the moon,
right?
$10 million, we'll find an island for you.
Yeah, no, but on the practical end, though, I mean, we have flown because the reward of cash was so high. We have flown to people in the Midwest and had like you know, a hoedown at their house, an acoustic jam.
We cooked them dinner.
We wrote them a song.
We are totally becoming friends after this show. Let's get another song in.
Okay, right, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
That would be great.
Can we get one from the other EP?
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, in a nutshell, yellow is the more acoustic version, and gold is the more sort of rock, electric version of two sides of what we do. Now, obviously, today here in the studio, we just have acoustic guitars, so this is going to be sort of gold through a yellow lens a little bit, and this song's called Watch the Moon Disappear.
Amazing. Live on Snacky Tunes.
Still be lying.
Wow. Awesome. That's some nice harmony.
Oh, that's wow.
Really nice harmony.
We hate harmony.
Thanks, dude.
Just trying to get our Fleetwood on. You know.
You know what? I literally just rolled my brother. They sound like Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, we were in the studio. I was like, do more of a Fleetwood thing.
No, I didn't want to say it because I didn't want them to be like, hey, man, we don't appreciate that. But like, seriously, I love Fleetwood Mac, so.
We very much appreciate it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's like a production blueprint. Just to have on every, even when we were just doing the basics before the harmonies were in there, I was like, could you do more of like a Mick Fleetwood thing? Yeah. Do you know more of a Stevie tambourine deal?
No, it's that was really good. So EP comes out, tour generally follows.
Yes.
What's the tour plan?
The tour plan is we hit the road this Sunday. Actually, is our first tour date. It's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, followed by in no particular order, although they are all in the following week. I know we're doing Chicago. We are doing St. Louis. We are doing Cleveland. We are doing Columbus, I believe.
Columbo.
Columbo. And we'll be in the Midwest.
There's places in
for
between,
the next week, and then in June we're doing the full country. So any corner of this fine country of ours will be covered by us. With the exception of parts of the Southeast, unfortunately.
Yes, and if you're in the Midwest, catch us in May because we will not be returning to those neighborhoods in June. But we'll be going all the way up. We'll do some dates in the Northwest and in California and stuff like that. We'll be out there for a while and coming back in July, I believe. July, the first week of July, we'll be back.
We'll be opening for Rhett Miller.
Amazing.
Tour. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
That's great.
I want to get one more song in. Before you guys go, so Nuts Bolts, where they can find you, tour dates, Twitter,
all that,
where they can give you like $10 million and buy an island.
All the dubs, you know.
If you just go to springstandards.com, it's got all the, you know, it's got the like on the, all the icons underneath for everything. You can, it's the hub to all the other little social network bits. So the springstandards.com is the way to do it.
And the record will be available on like iTunes, Amazon, everything you can imagine, as well as our own web store, where in addition to just normal versions of the record, you can buy one of only 900 handmade copies that we made of each separate EP.
Amazing.
So that's a fun little thing for if you're listening in and you just are so in love with our music that you want something super limited edition,
yeah,
that can be available there for you.
Awesome. And big shout out to Sarah from Girly Action for setting this up.
We love you, Sarah.
Super cool. She's the best. She will be doing, like I said, this snacky tune comp volume 2.
Which, so cool. We look forward to seeing
you guys will be volume 3, so like give me like a year and a half.
We'll be fine.
Spring Standards, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Next week we have Zambri live in studio, which is going to be super rad, and then the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, and possibly a couple other people because it's James Beard's Award next week, and we're going to try and get some special guests. So nice. Make sure to tune in next week. And what's the last song, and which EP is it from?
Well, what if we leave it a mystery?
Okay, fair.
This one would blur the lines.
Okay,
but incidentally, it's track 2 from Either. I won't tell you
where. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
1, 2, 3.
Satellites and radio towers, light bulbs in the deep. Tiny artificial eyes protect you while you sleep. So tell your mama that you gotta go. Even though it's cold outside, it's the only place that you know. It's a heavy home. Oh, 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 oh. 3 steps forward, 1 step back. Eggshells neath. Daylight's great defeat. So tell your mama that you gotta go. Even though it's cold outside, it's the only place that you know.
steady home. And when you get there, there's a tall drink of water and a bitter pill. It's all you get, so choke it down. And when you've had your fill, you'll smile a crooked smile for old time's sake.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.